A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sen. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 32. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Doctor Who, the missing episodes. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. So Doctor Who is, as we've discussed, probably one of the most famous shows in British science fiction television. And in these episodes, we've been talking about the 108 weekly episodes of the show, which are missing for a variety of reasons. And in the last show, we talked about why they were missing and which bits have been recovered. And we started talking about some of the audio reconstructions that were available. But now we're going to go and talk on about some other reconstructions, and particularly some of the visual reconstructions that are out there that you can have a look at.
Yes, there are things that you can watch as well as listen to. As we described, there are complete audio recordings of all of the missing episodes. And in fact, there are also telesnaps available, which are these photographs, about 70 photographs for a 25-minute episode. And in addition, they also have all of the original scripts from the episodes and a number of other things, as we described last time. Now, the BBC has some things on their website that they call these photo snap reconstructions, and these use the original telesnaps that were taken of a video monitor at the time in the 1960s, and they use the script. They essentially create almost a comic book of the original episodes, where you see the photos and you have captions that describe what's happening and describe what people are saying, and it certainly doesn't give you everything from that episode. You don't have the audio. There are certainly things missing, but it gives you a feel for what things were like, and those are available on the BBC's Doctor Who website for free.
There's also some BBC VHS tape releases that they did, and particular ones that I'm aware of, there was The Ice Warriors. The Ice Warriors was a second Doctor story, so Patrick Troughton Doctor story, of which the second and third episodes are missing. And so on the VHS tape release, you get all the existing episodes, but for episodes 2 and 3, the BBC did a short photo snaps reconstruction using the soundtrack, using some of the photo snaps, and using some captions to explain action where there was nothing happening in the dialogue. The reconstruction there is rather short. They compressed 2 25-minute episodes down into about 15 minutes, so they compress it quite a bit.
That was a 6-episode story, so you still have quite a bit of material there to watch.
And there was a booklet comes with the VHS release about the Ice Warriors, because this was the first appearance of one of Doctor Who's monsters, the Ice Warriors. And then the other one was a very famous story, The Tenth Planet. And this was the last story featuring the first Doctor, William Hartnell. This was William Hartnell's last story. It was a 4-part story, and unfortunately the 4th episode is completely missing. Now, The Tenth Planet was notable for a number of reasons. I mean, it was the first introduction of the Cybermen, again, another very well-known Doctor Who monster. But particularly it was Hartnell's last story, and at the end, in the 4th episode, the first Doctor collapses, and we get the first ever regeneration. But unfortunately that episode is lost, and so all we have are a few short clips, which I think were recovered from other television shows, which the BBC again used a short reconstruction on the VHS release to show some of the regeneration happening.
I believe there is also a similar reconstruction of the Reign of Terror, which was a William Hartnell serial from the first season of Doctor Who that was a historical story.
That takes the first Doctor back to the French Revolution.
That's right. There are only a few serials. We've mentioned 3 of them already. There are 4 that have more than half of the original episodes in archive, but the whole serial is not there. So some of these mostly complete ones were released with photo reconstructions in that style. Also available is a photo reconstruction of the serial Marco Polo, which was yet another First Doctor historical story. And in this case, it was not a full-length reconstruction. They took a 7-episode story and and reduced the whole thing down to 30 minutes. What they did with the audio and a series of photographs gives you a nice feel of it as well, and that's included on The Beginning, another DVD set.
And as we say, we've mentioned the Lost in Time set. There is an awful lot of material on the DVD set. There's lots of extras, and there's commentaries from some of the actors involved in some of these orphan episodes. So it's really worth getting. And another DVD that is worth getting, which again is a visual reconstruction of missing episodes, is a DVD called The Invasion. And this is a second Doctor story. Patrick Troughton's Doctor is particularly badly affected by the missing episodes. There's an awful lot of Patrick Troughton stories that are missing. The 8-episode story, The Invasion, episodes 1 and 4 are the ones that are missing. And what the BBC did for this particular DVD release, they got a British animation studio called Cosgrove Hall to produce animated reconstructions of those 2 episodes, which are done in black and white, sort of fit with the rest of the story. And obviously they used the existing soundtrack and script. And they produced this really quite impressive reconstruction, which works extremely well. It's quite dark and moody. It has a sort of expressionistic style to the animation, which is really very, very effective.
It does look very good. I think it's a little less faithful to the original as compared to some of these things that used actual photographs. They did take a little bit of license in how it was reconstructed, but on the whole, it visually looks really good, and it sews together that 8-part story, which is an epic story with the Cybermen and a human villain as well.
It's a very good Cybermen story, isn't it? I mean, it works very well. The Doctor finds some sort of company that's got some technological device, and it may be linked to the Cybermen. It actually reminded me, when I watched it, of more recent Cybermen story like The Age of Steel and The Rise of the Cybermen in the new Doctor Who.
It was a story that had a reputation about it for being quite new and different at the time for some of the things it introduced with the Cybermen. It was very good. It's actually my favorite Doctor Who Cybermen serial.
Although, as you say, the animation is perhaps more of an interpretation of the script rather than a completely faithful reconstruction. And it's a nice DVD release. It's got some, like a lot of the Doctor Who releases, it's got some good DVD extras. And in particular, it has a 15-minute documentary called Love Off Air, which is all about the fans making the audio recordings off air that we talked about in the last episode. So holding cassettes up to TV speakers or even wiring things into the back of their parents' televisions. And it features Mark Ayres, who did many of the audio reconstructions for this and other Doctor Who stories.
So there are definitely some things out there that the BBC has released to reconstruct some of these old missing episodes. And on the whole, they've done a good job, and especially The Invasion is very good on DVD.
Then there's some other visual reconstructions, and in particular, we're going to talk about a fan-based organization called Loose Cannon, and they produce photo reconstructions of missing Doctor Who episodes, and I think their goal is to eventually to have covered all the missing episodes, Brian.
That's true, and they're actually pretty close to getting there. They have done a great job of doing reconstructions of the missing episodes. They use this fan-recorded audio that we've talked about, and they do a very good job of putting everything together. They use the telesnaps when they're available, and they use the surviving clips that are available. They also use other photographs. There are some stories where there are no telesnaps, or there are only 2 or 3 or 4 photographs of an entire story. But there are other photographs that were taken on set. There are photographs from other stories with the Doctor and his companions. There are other photographs of actors when necessary. So there are all kinds of photos that they've pulled from many different places. And they also actually do composite pictures. So they've taken photos of a set, for example. One of the missing episodes of The Reign of Terror, there was this issue where there was one set and the actor who's on that set that you never actually see in any of the photos that still exist. Well, they found one photo of this set that someone had taken on set before the actual production happened. And then they found photos of the actor who was there from about the right time and put together this composite picture to get something as close as we could have to that original thing. And they've done a number of things like that with composite pictures. They've also constructed prop replicas of props that were in the original series, and they've used people to double for actors when you see them from behind, or when you don't see their faces, they've actually had people double for the actors in some cases. And they've even used some CGI, some computer graphics, to replicate some of the original visuals that you had that you can't get in any surviving clips. So they've reconstructed things that way as well.
And again, this is an absolutely fantastic piece of work by the fans, run by fans. Enormous amount of time and effort goes into it, and all done not for profit. You can get hold of these loose cannon reconstructions simply by sending them a VHS tape and the postage. That's all you need to do. You can find them on the internet, and they'll have the instructions of a local contact in your country. So there's contacts available for the UK and for Canada and for America, and I think also for Australia and so on. And contact details, you can send them the tape and the postage, and they will record the reconstruction for you and send it back to you. You may obviously need to purchase other episodes to complete the story. So some of them require you to have the Lost in Time DVD set or so on. But the actual loose cannon stuff is just the cost of the tape and the postage.
Yes, they've done a very good job with that. And getting a hold of these, as we've said, is slightly awkward. You have to do it three stories at a time. But what you get from them is actually very good. So it's really worthwhile getting a hold of some of these. There are a total of 27 Doctor Who serials that are not complete. They have already reconstructed 24 of those 27. So there's a lot of material there, and it's worth checking it out and looking at some of these. They even have some extra features. They've gone back and recorded new interviews with some of the original actors who were in these shows in the 1960s. So it's really neat what they've done with these, and it's worth choosing a serial or three and checking out what they have.
Which we have done. We have we've looked at some of the loose cannon reconstructions and enjoyed them, and we'll mention a few that we've seen. Galaxy 4, which is a First Doctor, a William Hartnell story, four episodes, none of which have survived. And I think the only part that survives is a short clip from the first episode. And so we have the loose cannon reconstruction of that, which, as you say, involves a variety of techniques to make the reconstruction. They actually had to make a model of one of the robots, because there's a small robot in the Galaxy 4 story called Chumblies, and so the loose cannon team made a model of the robot themselves to use in the reconstruction. And it's a pretty good story about the First Doctor and his companions landing on a disintegrating planet and getting caught up in a war between two races of aliens. And as you say, it also has extra features. We have an introduction on the loose cannon reconstruction from Peter Purvis, the actor who played the companion Stephen.
That's right. That was a story I quite enjoy. It's maybe not one of their absolute best, but it is a nice sort of large-scale space opera with battles involved. You don't see the action of the battles in this, but you do get a neat little slice of the politics of something really big happening. So that was something that was quite fun. And that was a story that it was thought, there have been other people doing these types of photo reconstructions, and it was thought that you just could not do a reconstruction of Galaxy 4 because it has very few photos available. And they put together a very good reconstruction, so that was quite neat.
It is necessary when you are at war.
At war?
With the Rills and their machines.
The Chumblies.
This is a fight to the death, for existence itself.
I see.
In which one of us will be obliterated.
Oh, as bad as that?
Yes. So bad that it is conceivable that you too will be obliterated.
Oh, come now, there's no need to exaggerate.
It's no exaggeration.
You want to kill us, don't you? You want to.
When a planet disintegrates, nothing survives.
Disintegrates this planet,
Yes. It's in its last moments of life.
Another First Doctor story that we looked at was a historical story called The Mythmakers, and it looks at the Trojan War and the Trojan Horse, and it was quite well done. It's one of my favorites, actually, and it involves the Doctor and Vicky, his companion from the time, being separated and ending up each plotting for a different side in the war, so they're not knowing it, but plotting against each other, and it was Vicky's final story where she eventually leaves. So this was a really neat little story and one that I enjoyed a lot. And again, it's one that has very few photos that exist of it. And they did a great job and used some computer graphics and put together a really nice reconstruction. And it's one that I quite enjoy. It gives you something that, on the whole, is really quite watchable.
And the way that Vicky left the show was very interesting and very nicely handled.
Yes, it was. There are some things in that particular show that are really worth seeing, so it's nice that we have that.
And then moving on to the second Doctor and some reconstructions, there's The Highlanders, which was another historical story where I think they've had to reconstruct all four episodes of the story. This was set after the Battle of Culloden and deals with the Doctor and his companions getting mixed up with some of the Scottish rebels who had been fighting with Bonnie Prince Charlie. And it's notable for a couple of reasons. I think it was the last of the big historical stories that Doctor Who did for quite some time. And it also introduced one of the companions, a character called Jamie, played by Frasier Hine, who would turn out to be one of the most popular of the companions and certainly one of the most long-lasting. He was with the Doctor for several years. And that's another packed reconstruction. They've got an introduction by one of the actors, a chap called Michael Elwyn, who played Lieutenant Finch in the story. And they've got production features and historical features about the Battle of Culloden, and even some comedy stuff, sort of extra features on the reconstruction. So that's all. It's another good one to look at. It's packed with plenty of information and entertainment.
Yes, that was a good one. I happen to be a fan of these old-style, pure historical stories, as they're sometimes called, that they did in the early years of Doctor Who. These were the stories where there were no science fiction elements other than the Doctor and the TARDIS and his companions being dropped into a historical situation, and it plays from there. So that was quite fun. Certainly a good one as well. Another Patrick Crichton serial that we looked at is called Enemy of the World, and this is also one that I quite like. It is a futuristic story that tells a sort of political thriller type story involving a whole variety of characters in this sort of dystopian future, and the leader of this dystopian society is played by Patrick Crichton. You had a character called Salamander who looked essentially identical to the Doctor, so you had this dual role for Patrick Troughton. And Troughton was a wonderful character actor, so he did a great job with this. And it's a classic little story. There's one episode that still exists, so that episode is included in its entirety, and the other episodes are reconstructed. So it's really quite good.
Yeah, I mean, the double role for Troughton is great fun. And as you say, he was such a notable actor. He does a fantastic job and has great fun doing it at the same time, playing sort of diametrically opposed aspects of himself, I suppose. We've watched The Ice Warriors, again, Patrick Troughton, Second Doctor, and we mentioned this already because it's available on a BBC VHS release with a short BBC reconstruction of episodes 2 and 3, but you can also get the Loose Cannon reconstruction of 2 and 3, which is a much longer, more detailed reconstruction, and if you combine that with the BBC material, you get a much better idea of the story. And this, again, another fun story. This is very much what I think of as a fairly typical Patrick Troughton story. It's the base in peril, with the Doctor and his companion arriving at this cut-off Arctic base, and there's something frozen in the ice, again in classic sort of horror film story idea, and there's some creatures frozen in the ice which get defrosted, and it's a pretty good story, lots of adventure in there. And again, you've got the reconstruction from Loose Cannon, and you've got bonus features with an interview and an introduction with the actor Peter Barkworth, who played one of the characters in The Ice Warriors. So that's another interesting show to look at.
Yes, there's definitely some neat stuff there, and that's a fun one too, because you have this 6-episode story and only 2 of them had to be reconstructed, the rest we have in their complete form. So it's nice to be able to see a more complete story like that.
And there's a scientist in the story played by the actor Peter Salis, who would later go on to be much more famous, providing the voice of Wallace in Wallace and Gromit. So it's quite fun to see him in Doctor Who as well.
Yes, I would not have recognized him by voice, that's for sure. Those are the Loose Cannon reconstructions that we have looked at. There are many others. As we've said, there are 24 of them. And there are a couple that I want to mention. One is Marco Polo, which is actually the earliest incomplete serial. None of the episodes exist. It was another one of these William Hartnell historical serials. There were quite a few of those. And it was known for being quite visually impressive because of the costumes and so on. And I'm told it doesn't sound as good just listening to audio with linking narration. But the loose canon reconstruction, because they had some color photographs and they colorized some of the other photographs, they actually did a color reconstruction of Marco Polo. And because of the visuals with the costumes, it's supposed to be quite neat as a serial to watch in the loose canon form. I also want to mention Evil of the Daleks, which loose canon has not reconstructed. It's one of those three serials that they have not yet reconstructed, but they are working on it. There's no release date, but Evil of the Daleks is coming up as a loose canon reconstruction, and that will be great because that is one of the most classic of the old serials that are missing. It will be great to see that reconstruction, and I'm told by some of the people at Loose Canon, I had an email conversation with one of them, they have some new techniques and some new sources of material that they're including for this, so it will be even a little bit different from the others that they've already put out. And they do intend to finish the last couple and have a full set of reconstructions for all of the Doctor Who missing episodes. So those Loose Canon reconstructions are really very good and they're really worth checking out.
Yes, hats off again to Loose Canon. If we've not emphasized this enough, the effort and the enthusiasm and the sort of expertise they've piled into these reconstructions is just staggering. It's fantastic. We should mention that there are, or at least there were, other Telesnap reconstruction projects around, which as far as I know, most of them are not still going. There was a group calling themselves the Telesnap Recon Team, but I think they haven't produced anything in the last few years, and pretty much in Telesnap's reconstructions, Loose Canon is carrying the torch at the moment. But there are some other possible reconstruction projects around.
That's right, there are some other things around. Loose Canon was the group that I think took the biggest jump from using the available telesnaps to using all kinds of material and creating new types of visuals from different things that were available. There is also a project on YouTube to make new kinds of reconstructions, and these are computer animated reconstructions. This is a project that is just starting up, so they are looking for people who can work in Flash and 3D animation, including things like Poser. They're looking for Photoshop people. They're looking for video editing people. And they are making these color animated versions of the missing episodes. So they are a little bit more like what the BBC did with The Invasion, but it's more based on this simpler sort of Flash animation with things being done in color. So that will be an interesting one to watch and see what happens. At the moment, I believe they just have sample clips of the characters and sample scenes from some of the episodes. They don't have full, complete stories or episodes at this point, but they are doing some interesting things. So if you want to check that out, the user is OCP Movie, and we will include in our show notes a link to that on YouTube as well.
Certainly one to watch for the future. There's another set of missing episodes which we'll talk about because they're particular favourites of ours here on British Invaders, and that was the story called Shudder. Now, this is a slight difference because this is not from the first or second Doctor's run. This is from a Tom Baker Fourth Doctor story from 1979. And what happened here was that the show was never completed. The story was never completed because of a BBC strike. The story was to feature, as I say, Tom Baker as the Fourth Doctor and Lala Ward as Romana in her Romana 2 version. And the script was by Douglas Adams, and we mentioned this when we discussed The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy on British Invaders. But because of the strike, the story was never completed. They shot various parts of it, but they never completed the story, and it was never broadcast. So in a way, it was a sort of a missing episode.
That's right. While it wasn't completed, there was actually quite a bit of footage that was shot for it, especially from the first half of the serial. It was intended to be a six-part serial. And roughly a year after it was abandoned, John Nathan Turner, the producer of Doctor who took over shortly after Shudder, he made a version where he edited together all of the existing bits and pieces and added some text on screen to explain what was missing. And this gave you a watchable version of Shudder that was used at a number of conventions. I have actually seen this reconstruction of Shudder, and it's interesting to see, but it's actually a little difficult to follow because there is a lot of text on screen and it is a bit of a struggle to follow what's going on at times. But for many years, it was the only version of Shudder that we had.
Right.
Now, that was changed in, I believe, 1993 when they put out a VHS release of Shada. So for the first time, Shada was available in full video form to the general public, not just by seeing it at a convention. This version had all of the original footage, and it had Tom Baker in studio on camera doing some linking narration to explain what was going on and to give you more of a complete viewable story. And this was much better than the text-on-screen version. It's much easier to follow. It's worth seeing. It's a fun watch, but it's certainly not as strong as a complete serial or even a complete serial with audio, in part because the climax of the story was never actually filmed. So you have Tom Baker being very excited, standing in studio explaining the climax to you. So it's definitely not like a full released Doctor Who story, but it's interesting to see what was there and to see a little bit more of that Tom Baker on a Douglas Adams script dynamic.
The whole story of Shada is full of interesting features, isn't it? Because some of the clips that they actually filmed for the early episodes of Shada, of Tom Baker as the Fourth Doctor, were actually used in the broadcast of the Five Doctors story, which was the Doctor Who 20th anniversary special.
That's right.
Which at the time, as you say, Tom Baker, I don't think, wanted to appear in. So they used his Shada clips to actually put him in that story. And then also, I think, as we discussed on the Hitchhiker's Guide episodes, Douglas Adams himself recycled some aspects of Shada into his novel Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. So if you've read that novel and then you watch one of the versions of Shada, you may recognize some of the Cambridge sequences from it.
And especially the character of Professor Chronotis, who appeared in both and was very similar in the two.
Absolutely. And then there's been another version of Shada brought out more recently. In 2003, the BBC did an animated webisode version. And what they did, I thought, was very clever. This time they used the Eighth Doctor, Paul McGann, and they did the full six episodes in a sort of flash animation with sort of comic book illustration by an artist called Lee Sullivan. But they also had a prologue which explained, I thought rather cleverly, how the Fourth Doctor had been about to investigate Shada and had then been sort of plucked away to deal with the events of the Five Doctors, and how now the Eighth Doctor had to go back and sort out the story of Shada. So I think the way they dealt with it worked very well. And the animation, although the animation's limited, it does look very good, and it certainly gives you a much more complete version of the story of Shada. And as you say, you get to see the actual climax without just having it described to you.
Yes, the animated version of Shada is quite good. It's available on the BBC website. You can watch it there for free. So that is, again, worth checking out. It was quite well done. The animation was a little bit surreal, and I rather enjoyed that. And they put things together rather well. The audio for that was recorded in studio by Big Finish, which is a company that does audio adventures for Doctor Who. So they do these audio plays that are like radio plays, but they're available on CD and as paid downloads. And as we've mentioned here and there, Big Finish is very good and does many of these Doctor Who audio dramas. And in addition to this animated version of Shada with Big Finish involved, there is also an audio-only version of Shada, again with Paul McGann and done by Big Finish. So it's the same audio recordings as they used in the animated version, except it's extended a little bit beyond that. There's some extra scenes and there's a little bit more humor. So while the animated version is good, I also like the audio version, which comes on two CDs. It's really quite good. I think it may be my favorite version of all of these different versions of Shada. I've seen all of these versions, and I think the best ones are the two Paul McGann ones, and the audio one is certainly very good, as well as the animated one.
So there you go, Shada. I mean, lots of interesting stuff. Douglas Adams, and you can do it with Tom Baker, or you can do it with Paul McGann, and you can do it on the web or on audio, and it's a pretty good story. Well worth checking out in one of the forms, if not all of them.
How nice to see you again, Doctor.
It's Colonel Lethbridge Stewart.
Brigadier now. I've gone up in the world.
Of course, the Yetis. We met you in
That's right, McCrimmon in the underground. Must be 4 years ago now.
That long? It only seems like a couple of weeks ago.
I've told you over and over again, Jamie. Time is relative.
You were still making a nonsense of it, Doctor, in your... What was it called? TARDIS?
Yes, we're still travelling, yes.
Yes, Mr. Travers, tell me all about it. It's, Well, it's, to say the least, an unbelievable machine.
any more unbelievable than the Yetis?
No, true. I'm not quite so much of a skeptic as I was since that little escapade.
So we should perhaps wrap up by talking about some of our favourite of the reconstructions and the Doctor Who serials that we've been discussing in these two episodes. So, Brian, which of the reconstructions did you particularly enjoy?
Oh, that's a tough one. There are a number of good ones here. I think for me, it has to be The Mythmakers, which was one of the historical stories with the Doctor and his companion Vicky squaring off one against the other.
Yeah, that is a good one.
So what about you? What's your choice as a favorite here?
Well, my particular favourite, I think I've probably already given it away. I mean, I like Patrick Troughton and I like the Cybermen. And so the Invasion DVD, I think, is a fantastic reconstruction. And as we've said, the animation is perhaps more interpretation than reconstruction, but it looks great. I must admit, I did enjoy watching Paul McGann's Shadow on the web as well. I thought that was very well done.
It's also worth mentioning the BBC VHS release of The Tenth Planet. And unfortunately, these BBC VHS releases are hard to find now. And I think because of that VHS release, I don't think Loose Cannon will send you their Tenth Planet reconstruction at this point. But if you can get one of the reconstructions of The Tenth Planet, it's really neat to see the introduction of the Cybermen and the introduction of regeneration as an idea and to see William Hartnell at the end like that. So that is really well worth seeing if you can find it as well.
And some of the missing episodes still keep cropping up. So there is hope that we may get more in the future. The most recent find was in 2004 when an episode of the Daleks Master Plan serial turned up. There is still hope and the appeal is still running. I know that there are various sites still looking for any material at all really that can be found.
The treasure hunt for episodes of Doctor Who and other series as well is still out. And in fact, the BBC has a treasure hunt website with a form where you can enter information if you believe you have a missing episode or have information about a missing episode. And there is also a website for the Doctor Who restoration team. They are the team that restores existing episodes to appropriate quality for current broadcast and especially now for DVD release. Well, they also have involvement in this and they have things about the hunt for missing episodes as well.
So the hunt is still on. It's still possible. And we'll certainly try and put the links to all these various websites we've been talking about in the show notes for these episodes.
If you are a film collector or you know a film collector who has old films from garage sales or from who knows where and collects things, check out what you have. Check to see if you have Doctor Who episodes, if you have other old black and white films or old black and white professional videotapes of different shows. Check these things out because there are so many copies that people had in their collections they were looking at. They didn't know that they were missing, that they weren't in archive. So please check out anything you have.
If you go to garage or yard sales or car boot sales, keep your eyes open. You never know.
If you have not seen 1960s Doctor Who and you want to get into some of this black and white Doctor Who with the first two Doctors, you probably want to start looking at some of the complete serials that are out on DVD before you look at these reconstructions. And there are a number of quite good serials that are out on DVD. So if you haven't seen anything of the first Doctor, you might want to check out a set called The Beginning, which has the very first three serials of Doctor Who on DVD. That includes the very first serial. It includes the first serial with the Daleks. It's interesting for its historical value, and some of it is pretty good.
It's certainly the one to pick up and start with for 1960s Doctor Who. And as you said, it's got the advantage that it is complete.
And another first Doctor one that you could also start with that's also well worth watching is another first season serial called The Aztecs, which was obviously a historical story, and it's quite fun. It's worth looking at.
It's another popular one as well, isn't it? The Aztecs is very highly regarded. And one of the big historical stories.
Yeah, it's quite neat. And as for the second Doctor, Patrick Troughton was very good as the Doctor. There are some of his serials that are out on DVD in complete form. Some of the ones that are especially worth checking out are Tomb of the Cybermen and also The Seeds of Death, which was also a very good serial.
Yeah, The Tomb of the Cybermen is a nice DVD set, again, with lots of interesting features, as well as the famous story of The Tomb of the Cybermen, which was lost for so long and then returned to us.
Yes, The Invasion, which we've already talked about as the 8-episode serial where they animated 2 episodes and included the original versions of the other 6. It it's also very good, and that is maybe the only one of these reconstructions that might be worth starting off into 1960s Doctor Who or starting off into Patrick Troughton Doctor Who with. It's also very good. So I think that just about wraps things up for our discussion of Doctor Who the Missing Episodes. So in summary, Doctor Who was a long-running series that started in the early 60s and ended in the late 80s, and many of the episodes from the 1960s, which were in black and white, are unfortunately no longer in archive. But we do have some pieces of them left over. We have some clips, we have telesnaps of many of the episodes, and we have scripts for all of the episodes, and we have audio recordings for all of the episodes. And there are reconstructions, there are things you can still see by sending VHS tapes to people and having them sent back, or by watching things on the web, in a few cases by watching things on DVD. There are lots of things out there you can see, and they are well worth watching. The hunt is still out, so we're still looking to recover new episodes, and hopefully that will happen in the future. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.britishinvaders.com. In our next discussion, we will be talking about Children of the Stones, which was a 1977 children's miniseries that is actually fairly complex, even though it was meant for children. So that's good stuff.
I confess I haven't seen it yet, so I'm really looking forward to coming to it this one new.
It's an interesting one. It's quite different. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
And this is goodbye and thank you from Eamon in England.